This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها لها ما كسبت وعليها ما اكتسبت. ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا. ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا. ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به. واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا. أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. فالحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه اجمعين اما بعد. This particular series, this is the last session of our series, has been quite a challenge for me, and it has been challenging because these du'as, there's so much that can be said about them, but I wanted to make sure that the discussions we have around them are limited and there's a short amount of time and we can pack as much in as we possibly can. And I'm absolutely certain that I've missed lots and lots of lessons and a great amount of wisdom that can be extracted from all of these du'as. But whatever little we've been able to extract, I'm hoping that it is a benefit for us and it brings us closer to Allah and makes it easy for myself and all of you to have a more meaningful conversation with Allah by means of these remarkable prayers. What I want to start with today is kind of some finishing touches on the phrase, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. We talked about that yesterday. لها ما كسبت وعليها ما اكتسبت. I heard that. You can put it on silent now, young man. Don't hide your face. Okay, put it on silent. Go ahead. I'm watching. Okay. It's all good. Okay. Now, the first thing, additional meanings of Allah does not place a burden on anyone more than their potential, more than their capacity. I talked to you about that before. One, you know, you have different kinds of people that make different kinds of excuses in life. And I hope you're not one of them, but you might know someone, or maybe you refuse to acknowledge that you and I might be of those kinds of people. You hear someone say, well, you know, my God, you like pray five times? Like, all five? Like, on time? Like, every day? Wow, I could never do that. Make dua for me. One day I have tawfiq, I can do that too. Like, you have people that, when they hear someone obeying the very minimal commands of Allah, make it sound like it's some superpower that you have that they clearly don't have, and Allah didn't give it to them, and He gave it to you, and unless they had it, because Allah hasn't given it to them, that's why they just can't do it. Man, I could never wake up like that. Oof, that's insane. Even at work? At college you do this too? That's amazing. And so when someone does that, they're actually not realizing that Allah has said the exact opposite. He would never have placed a burden on you unless He knew that you were capable. And so either you're saying I'm not capable, and Allah is saying, yes, you are. So who's lying? And if I still claim I'm not capable, then I'm actually claiming that Allah is not accurate in what He said, ma'adallah. So it's a pretty serious thing. He took the excuse out the window. You can't lie to yourself anymore. You can't say, man, I wish I was capable. You already are. Allah already guaranteed it. He would not have given me and you these obligations if He was not clear, if He wasn't in His wisdom, not knowing that we are capable of carrying this burden. That's the first thing. The second interesting thing here is that, you know, Allah gives us responsibilities, and if we don't do what Allah says, then we should feel bad. But sometimes people put pressure on us. And when we don't do what people want, then they make us feel bad. Right? And what happens a lot of times is we refuse to do what Allah wants, because we're too worried about doing what people want. I don't want someone to feel bad. That's why I'm disobeying Allah. I don't want someone to make me feel guilty or make me feel like I've abandoned or been disloyal or been, you know, I've hurt their feelings or whatever. And all because of those reasons, I'm now putting their burdens on me. Allah says, you are not responsible for anyone else's burdens, anyone else's feelings. So long as you're good with Allah, then Allah has not placed that burden on you. So a lot of times people, instead of carrying the burden that Allah actually put on them, they take that burden off, and they take all these other people's burdens and put them on themselves, and live life with, I can't make this one unhappy, I have to make sure they're okay with me, I have to make sure this is done, and people pleasing. Live a life of pleasing people. Allah says the only burden that you're responsible for is your own. And to your capacity, you're not capable of carrying someone else's burden. That's theirs. So if Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqqas, his mother says, if you become Muslim, I'll stop eating. It's his mom. She raised him and she's starving. He feels horrible that his mom's not eating. But you know what? Like I said, the old Texan saying, you can only control your side of the street. So all he can do is what Allah told him to do. And her choice to not eat is not his responsibility. And if she says, you know, you're starving your mother to death, you're killing your mother, you feel good about that? She could say whatever she wants. That doesn't change the reality. She's starving herself. People will use the kinds of words to make you feel like you're doing this to them, even though they're the ones doing it to themselves. You understand? And be clear, when Allah places a burden, it's on you. When other people place a burden, it may not be on you. That just may be manipulation. And it's actually a freedom Allah has given us in this ayah. That the only burden that you have to worry about is the one Allah placed on you. لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا. And then the other thing, now we get into this dua itself. Now we turn immediately to Allah, after Allah says that whatever responsibilities He's given me, I am in fact capable of. Well, even though I'm capable, just because you're capable of doing something doesn't mean you're doing a good job. Right? Doesn't mean you and I are doing what we're supposed to be doing, even though we're capable and we know what to do. And you know, when you are capable and you know what to do and you mess up, here's the first thing. You turn back to Allah, رَبَّنَا لَا تُؤَاخِذْنَا إِن نَسِينَا. Don't grab us, don't hold us to account, don't seize us, meaning don't punish us right away. This is actually a meaning of iqab. Don't punish us right away, don't grab us right away, don't hold us to account right away, don't hold me responsible immediately if we forget. The first issue is we forget. We're acknowledging to Allah one of our biggest problems is we need reminders. And when we don't get a steady stream of reminders, then our programming is, we're called insan for a reason. One of the origins of the word insan is nisyan, or forgetful. So it's because you know something doesn't mean you'll remember it. Even Musa alayhi salam's student, he's traveling with Musa alayhi salam, وَمَا أَنْسَانِيهُ إِلَّا شَيْطَانَ نَذْكُرَ. I forgot. They're traveling and he forgets. You know, shaitan can make you forget. And so the thing we're reminding ourselves of now is one of the easiest attacks of shaitan, distract you and make you forget. Now about this making us forget, you could forget a responsibility. You're hanging out with friends, doing some work, and you forgot to pray dhuhr. You didn't mean to, but you just forgot. And then you remembered and you apologize to Allah, لَا تُؤَاخِذْنَا إِن نَسِينَا. Yeah, that's one easy meaning of this ayah. But there are other meanings. You have a purpose in life. There's some talent Allah gave you. I talked to you about that before. There's some skills Allah gave you, some opportunities Allah gave you, some provision Allah gave you. He put you in a certain country, in a certain family, with a certain society around you, and you were supposed to do something amazing with what Allah gave you. And you forget that, and you get too busy entertaining yourself. And you forget that, and you're too busy with, oh man, the last game of the NBA Finals. And you check the score. You know, you forget. You forget what your goal is in life. You forget that you are made for a higher purpose than just feeding yourself and entertaining yourself and talking about people. You know, when people forget about their higher purpose, you know what the only thing left for them to do is? Talk about other people or entertaining themselves. That's all that's left in their life. This is nisyan also. Ya Allah, don't hold us to account if our lives have become meaningless and all we do is make ourselves feel better by entertaining ourselves and eating and sleeping or talking about others. That's all we've become. In nisina. Or the other problem, أو أخطأنا. أَوَخْطَأْنَا means if we make a mistake. Again, mistakes are of two kinds. You can make a mistake because you just didn't know. Somebody didn't know what, you know, they're just new to Islam, or you don't know much about Islam, you just started learning. This is your first Ramadan, you came back to Allah, so, you know, you don't know what breaks wudu. Or, you know, somebody told me a funny story, you know, recently somebody just kept praying, they broke their wudu, they kept praying, then later on they're like, oh wait, I was supposed to go and do that, oh, did none of it count? Now they're worried, well, that's a mistake. They don't know any better. They didn't know any better, right? And there's some people, innocently, they're like, they'll take like, oh man, I have a headache, it's a long fast. They pop some Tylenol. They're like, oh, medicine doesn't count, right? Then later on they find out, oh, it does count. Does that mean the cup of water I had after that to gulp it down, that also didn't count? But they didn't know. If you genuinely didn't know, that's one thing, that's a mistake. That's one dimension of mistakes. But also there's another type of mistake. And that is, okay, now you're trying to do the right thing. You're trying to make yourself better. Just because you're trying to learn, you're trying to pray, you're trying to improve yourself, you're trying to get away from sins, doesn't mean that journey to do good deeds is free of mistakes. Even on your path to doing good things, You make mistakes. You make somebody upset. You don't do things the way you should have done. You don't say things the way you should have said. You didn't pray as well as you should have prayed. There are mistakes in our wudu. There are mistakes in our salah. There are mistakes in the way we interact with people. There are mistakes maybe in the way that the tone of our voice was with our mom when we said wa alaikum assalam. There's stuff we don't realize we do. And, you know, people might notice and we might not notice. These are mistakes. You didn't deliberately do it. Somebody came up to you and said, salamu alaikum, and you're busy putting your shoes on. You said, wa alaikum assalam. You didn't even look up. And now they feel bad. He didn't even make eye contact with me. He thinks his shoes are worth more than I am. You didn't do that. You were just really busy looking for your shoes because it's a masjid and shoes get lost easily, you know. And you've been wearing somebody else's shoes for a week, so you really want them back. But it's a separate problem. But it's a mistake. It hurts somebody's feelings. It's a mistake. These are mistakes also. Meaning even when you intend to do good, sometimes bad happens. Even with good intention, bad happens. And Allah, we're begging Allah Azza wa Jalla, these mistakes, ya Allah, overlook them. In nasina aw akhtana. Then he says, رَبَّنَا وَلَا تَحْمِلْ عَلَيْنَا إِصْرًا. Don't put a burden on us. Isr is actually used for something that's tied on, not just something loaded on you, something tied on you. In other words, like, you know, for an animal, when they load the animal with goods, they don't just load it because the animal could just lean a little bit and all the stuff falls over. So they got to tie it up. So it's on you and it won't come off. Ya Allah, don't load a burden tied on top of us. كَمَا حَمَلْتَهُ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِنَا. Like the one you loaded onto those who came much before us. This surah is, half of it is dedicated to Banu Israel. And Allah gave them so many responsibilities, right? I want you to understand the word load, the burden, in three ways. Three ways. The first is responsibility. Allah gave Banu Israel responsibilities. They did not carry them. Don't be arrogant and say, man, those Jews, man, they just... if I was them, I would never have. Astaghfirullah, those Yahud. No, don't be arrogant that you would have been better. Tell Allah, beg to Allah, Ya Allah, don't test me the way you tested them. They failed, that doesn't mean they're worse than I am. I don't know if I would have been any better. I don't put myself in a better position. Ya Rab, do not give me the same test you gave them because you've given me a whole story of their failure. I do not want to be put in that position. I'm not super confident that I'm going to come out with flying colors where they failed. I'm not going to do that. I do not want to be tested by Allah. لَا تَحْمِلْ عَلَيْنَا إِصْرًا كَمَا حَمَلْتَهُ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِنَا. So when we study the failures of those who came before us, we shouldn't read that and say, ah, those crazy Israelites. No, no, no. We're supposed to actually get scared. I hope Allah doesn't put that on us. Allah doesn't put that responsibility on. That's the view with which we look at history now. We don't look at history to criticize a nation, but to get scared that if we're up next. The second meaning is situations. Ya Allah, don't load us with situations and circumstances like you did for the people before. Not just responsibilities. They had to travel in the middle of the desert, starving. They had to be put in all kinds of trials. Ya Allah, do not put us in those trials, those burdens, like the ones we read about, because my life is way easier than what I read about. And Ya Allah, you know that I may not have the same strength that those people had. Do not put that on me. Do not place that on us. The third meaning of hamil is actually really interesting. It actually means the weight of the consequences of your deeds. Allah says, وَلَا يَحْمِلُنَّ أَثْقَالَهُمْ وَأَثْقَالَ مَعَ أَثْقَالِهِمْ سُوْتَ الْعَنْكَبُوتِ. I'll load them on with their burdens and the burdens of others that they, along with the ones they misguided. What does that mean? Listen to this ayah carefully. This is about Banu Israel. فَبِظُلْمٍ مِّنَ الَّذِينَ هَادُوا حَرَّمْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ طَيِّبَاتٍ وَحِلَّتْ لَهُمْ. I'm going to take 5 extra minutes today and I'm not sorry. Okay, so I'm letting you know. Okay, so because of the wrong that the Israelites used to do, Allah says good things that were opened up for them, meaning good things Allah was going to give them in life, Allah forbade from them. You know, so Allah, حَرَّمْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ طَيِّبَاتٍ وَحِلَّتْ لَهُمْ. We forbade from them, we deprived them of good things that were coming their way, that were made open. And uhilla doesn't just mean halal, it means unleashed. Like, for example, rain was going to come and give them a good year of crop, but because of the haram they were doing, the rain stopped. And the crop got destroyed. Good things were coming your way, and things were going to make your life easier. They were coming your way. And because you kept on sinning and sinning and sinning and doing wrong, your life got burdened and heavier, not in the next life, in this life. Life becomes more difficult when we disobey Allah, not because He punishes us, but because we ourselves close the door to the good that was coming. That's not a punishment, that's just us depriving ourselves for the takhfif that comes from Allah, the lightening of our burdens that come from Allah. What a very powerful thing to say. لا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا. Don't let that burden come on us by those doors of rizq closing, the way they did for the people that came before us. You know, the kinds of humiliation they suffered, the kinds of difficulties they suffered, because those doors closed. Ya Allah, don't let those doors close on us. And then we say, رَبَّنَا وَلَا تُحَمِّلْنَا مَا لَا طَاقَةَ لَنَا بِهِ. Our Master, do not put a burden on us, or do not load us even further with what we have no capability of carrying. And this is a step further. If it's more mubalagh, it's more emphatic than that, than even the previous phrase. What does it mean? It means, you know, to give you an example, I'll give you a medical example. The doctor tells the guy, you need to stop eating chocolate. You really need to stop. No, it's okay. It's just a little bit. And the guy says, no, I don't even eat chocolate. And in parentheses, silently says, every day or every hour. You know, I don't really smoke that much. You know, just a pack every day and every night. You know, and then, you know, at the time, you don't see that this is a big deal. You're just standing outside smoking away. And then 10, 15 years later, what happens? Lung cancer, open heart surgery. That's a burden, that's a weight that you're not capable of bearing. You brought that on yourself. At the time you were doing it, you were making your life harder, but you didn't see it. You didn't see the weight. Eventually, don't allow us, Allah Azza wa Jal, we're asking Allah, don't allow us to become like those people where you burden on us something that we're not capable of bearing. But inside of these words is actually, don't let us keep making these mistakes that make our life so difficult that we can't even deal with the consequences of our own mistakes. Don't do that. Don't let that happen to us. لَا تُحَمِّلْنَا مَا لَا طَاقَةَ لَنَا بِهِ. And you know, in these words, I didn't share with you before, when we say to Allah, لَا تُؤَخِذْنَا إِن نَسِينَا أَوْ أَخْطَأْنَا. When we say that, in the hadith, in the sahih hadith, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, قَدْ فَعَلْتْ. I've done it. I'm not going to hold you to account if you make a mistake. And رَبَّنَا لَا تَحْمِلْ عَلِيْنَا إِصْرًا كَمَا حَمَلْتَهُ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِ وَاعْفُ عَنَّا, especially وَاعْفُ عَنَّا وَاغْفِرْ لَنَا وَارْحَمْنَا وَاعْفُ عَنَّا قَدْ فَعَلْتْ وَاغْفِرْ لَنَا قَدْ فَعَلْتْ وَارْحَمْنَا قَدْ فَعَلْتْ. Three times. Part, lovingly forgive us, Ya Rab. وَاعْفُ عَنَّا means lovingly forgive us. Do not stop loving us because of our mistakes. Know this, when it doesn't matter what kind of loving relationship you have with anybody in life, if you hurt their feelings enough, then they can't see you and not remember the pain you caused. Right? If you've been abusive to someone, you've hurt someone's feelings, even if they forgave you, it's not the same. Right? They can't look at you the same way. Something has changed in the relationship. Some scars don't heal. We are asking Allah to forgive us with love, which is different from just forgiving. Afu has hub in it. In other words, even though we messed up really bad, Ya Allah, love us the way that you loved us even before the mistake happened. And our Rabb is unlike any creation. This is why Allah is beyond imagination, beyond example. Because Allah loves the slave who makes a mistake and comes back even more. Not less, more. Human beings, what do? When someone makes a mistake and they come back, then later on when we get a chance, you know, I should have never forgiven you. I still remember what you did. I know you said you're sorry, but I thought I should remind you. You know, that's what we do. But Allah, no. Allah covers it. He buries those mistakes. And He turns those mistakes into good deeds. That's the love of Allah. وَعْفُ عَنَّا وَغْفِرْ لَنَا, and cover for us. وَرْحَمْنَا, and show us love, care, and mercy. This is us turning to Allah at the end of the day and recognizing that no matter how hard we try, no matter what we try to do, at the end of the day, even after He forgives all of our mistakes, and maybe we have nothing else to ask forgiveness for, even then we're not good enough for Jannah. We're not good enough for His mercy. He still has to intervene Himself. وَعْفُ عَنَّا وَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَرْحَمْنَا أَنْتَ مَوْلَانَا. You are our protective guardian. You are the one who takes care of our affairs. You're the one that's with us all the time, actively protecting us all the time. Notice this dua ends in a very strange way. فَانْصُرْنَا عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ. Aid us against the disbelieving nation. Help us against the disbelieving enemy. Wait, the whole dua was about us. All of a sudden it became about the enemy. You understand this? It's a big switch all of a sudden. Actually, fansurna would have been enough. Or fa'fu anna waghfir lana warhamna. Done. What is this fansurna ala al-qawmi al-kafirin at the end? What's it doing there? We're being taught a very profound message by Allah. And that is that until the believing people, the ummah, until we don't become people of istighfar, we don't become humble before Allah, we don't learn to carry our own responsibilities, Allah will never aid us against enemies. Enemies of this deen will always have an upper hand so long as we don't fulfill the first part of this dua. And the last and the most beautiful thing I want to share with you is as follows. There's one place in the Qur'an, and sometimes in the Qur'an, Allah Azza wa Jal corrects the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Listen to this carefully. Sometimes Allah corrects the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You know, he frowned and he turned away, for example, from the blind person. Abasa wa tawalla, I came down. Another time, in Surah At-Tawbah, the Muslims were all going into battle. There was a draft. You know, draft means every citizen capable of fighting has to go. All the men have to go if they're capable of fighting. One of the hypocrites came to the Prophet ﷺ and said, Ya Rasulullah, we're going to go towards the Roman Empire. And on the way to the Roman Empire, there are some villages. And those villages have some really beautiful women. And I have a problem. I can't help myself. So please don't let me join the army because, you know, I'm a player and I can't help it. This is the excuse he gave to the Prophet ﷺ for not joining the army. The Prophet ﷺ, obviously this guy, is not going to be any good on the battlefield even if he didn't make this excuse. And you need capable soldiers on the battlefield. So the Prophet ﷺ does what? Lets him go. Okay, you know what? You stay. You're better off here. Okay? So he gives him permission. Ayah came down. Lima adhinta lahum. Why did you give them permission? Why did you give them permission? In Surah At-Tawbah. But you know what's amazing about that ayah? When the Prophet is being corrected, he'll feel guilty because who's correcting him? Allah is correcting him. And you know, if you correct someone, like if I corrected one of my employees, I say, hey, you uploaded this incorrectly. But it's okay. But it's okay. First I correct them, then I tell them it's okay. I mean, I slap them a little bit, and then I give them a tissue. Right? Then I make them feel better. Or even with your children. Hey, you didn't do your homework? That's not good. I still love you though. That's 5 minutes later. For 5 minutes you let them suffer. And then you tell them you love them. What does Allah do with His Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? He says, عَفَ اللَّهُ عَنْكَ لِمَا أَذِنْتَ لَهُمْ. Allah has already forgiven you. Why did you give him permission? He doesn't forgive him after saying that. He says, before I tell you what I'm going to correct, I've already forgiven you. You understand? This is a case of excessive love. When Allah forgives, when Allah answers the dua before the dua is even made. The dua after that ayah came, لِمَا أَذِنْتَ لَهُمْ. Why did you give them permission? The Prophet ﷺ would have asked forgiveness from Allah. Before he even gets a chance to ask, what does Allah do? He answers it. Now listen, we ask Allah, don't put a burden on us that we can't handle. Don't load us with something we don't have the power to bear. Don't give us something like you gave to the people before us, yes? Before we even ask Allah all of that in this ayah, He already answered the dua when He said, لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وَسْعَهَا. He already answered you. He said, I won't do it. I'll never put a burden on you you can't handle. I'll never put a burden on you you can't. This is a love of Allah in this ayah, that the answer to the dua of this ayah is already in the beginning of this ayah. Before we even ask, it's there. The last thing would be, why am I even asking then? Because Allah loves that you ask. Allah loves that you ask. And every time we recite this ayah, we appreciate that Allah knows what is going on inside our hearts before it even reaches our tongue. The words of the dua are on our tongue, but before we get there, the words of Allah's response preceded them. Subhanallah. May Allah Azza wa Jal give us a true love and appreciation and a heartfelt faith for His words and for His, you know, for His promises. May Allah Azza wa Jal overlook all of our mistakes and accept all of our worship in Ramadan. The mistakes I may have made in this month, may Allah Azza wa Jal forgive me. May Allah forgive all of us for our shortcomings. I wanted to make a request, a humble request to all of you as I leave. I would like, especially the families that are here that are listening, I just want to give you a humble invitation. And that is, I told you today, we forget, right? And my mission, basically, is to help Muslims stay connected with the Quran, even if a little bit every day. My request to you is to sign up for Bayina TV. It's on bayina.tv. Sign up. And you know, how many people here have gone through the entire Quran in translation or in explanation? A few of you. How many wish they did? Okay, well, I'm here to help. So sign up. Just listen to 20 minutes when you're dropping your kids off to school or when you're commuting somewhere. You're going to work 20 minutes a day, 15 minutes a day, and slowly but surely get through the entire Quran. I've got an entire translation of the Quran on there. I've got an in-depth study on there, and I've put together a journey. Like, I'm not expecting you to finish the whole Quran. But so long as you and I are doing a little bit of Quran message every day, little bit, systematically, then inshallah ta'ala, we can journey through the entire book of Allah, and that's my invitation to you. That's something that I hope you guys take advantage of, bi-idhnillah ta'ala. Those of you, it's a subscription, it's a paid subscription, but any who cannot afford it, go to the website, there's a button that says gift. And you can just ask for a free gift, nobody's turned away. So if you can't afford it, you get it for free, no problem, inshallah ta'ala. So I hope you take advantage of that, and those of you that can afford it, I would ask that you support someone anonymously who can't afford it. There are people from all over the world that sign up, and we'd love for you to take the ajr of them learning Quran. Right, so this would be an opportunity for you to give to your, you know, to other families, to others who are studying Allah's book, and you may never even know how that shows up for you on Judgment Day. Barakallahu li wa lakum fil Quran al-Hakim, wa nafa'ani wa iyyakum bil ayat wa dhikr al-Hakim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.